This is Jim Radio.
Well, howdy, everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of the Great Openings Music Trivia Challenge, the podcast that you can download and play along with. We play the Great Openings notes from five songs from five decades and give you a chance to figure out if you know the song, the artist, and if you're really good, even the year. So thanks for downloading and thanks for playing along. Yes, it's episode number 16. Kind of easy kind of clues for you this go around, and we will get right down to business with our five clues from five decades. And if you played with us before, you know how it works. We'll play just a little opening snippet, a name that tune kind of exercise here. So here we go. Here comes your first hit from the 1960s. We play each clue two times to give you an extra chance to make sure that you hear it correct. Here's something from the 1970s. Did you catch the song, the artist? We'll tell you the answers and a little bit of trivia about it in just a minute. How about something from the 1980s? Here's a song from the 1990s. And finally, something from the decade of the 2000s. Your answers are coming up in just a minute. Do want to tell you that if you enjoy listening to the Great Openings Music Trivia Podcast, you can now find us a new place in our own home on iTunes. All you have to do is go to the podcast section and search for Great Openings, and it should pop right up in the search box. It is on iTunes, which means then you can subscribe to it. You can download it for free of charge, of course, from iTunes, and use that to manage the podcast. Of course, you can also listen from our show notes page, which is my blog at jimdriscoll.net, and certainly subscribe to it. And if you haven't done that, we urge you to. It is free, and you just kind of click the button, and you can subscribe the easiest way in iTunes, which means you'll never miss an episode. It will automatically, every time we put a new one out, every week or so, we try to do it every week or so, it will automatically download for you and be ready for you to listen right there on your computer or on your favorite audio listening device. Also want to mention, of course, that we are brought to you in part by The Trivia Factory, which is the company here in the Atlanta area that I work for occasionally, doing live interactive trivia at restaurants and nightclubs and bars all over the Atlanta area. If you are in Atlanta or going to be visiting and like to play along with us, come out some evening, you can go to our website, which is thetriviafactory.com, and see all the show places, locations, and show times. And there's even music trivia on Saturday nights at a couple of locations as well. And come out on Monday nights where I host trivia at a great place called Wings and Things in Fayetteville. All right, you have been waiting for the answers for our five songs. We played the clues just a minute ago. How about the answers? Here we go. This is the hit from the 1960s. Yeah, from 1965, top 10 hit for the Beatles and Day Tripper.
She was a day tripper, one-way ticket, yeah.
Well, Day Tripper was recorded on October 16th, 1965 at the Abbey Road Studios, and the Beatles did the song under pressure of needing a new single for the Christmas market. John Lennon wrote most of the lyrics along with that famous guitar break, and Paul McCartney helped out with the verses. Lennon's lyrics were his first overt references to drugs in a Beatles song. Now, the Beatles were pretty much squeaky clean before they came to America, but then they quickly discovered drugs, and Day Tripper is often seen as Lennon teasing McCartney about not partaking in 2004, Paul McCartney did an interview with the Daily Mirror newspaper, and he explained that drugs did influence many of the Beatles' songs, and he singled out Day Tripper as an example, but he also said that people often overestimated the influence of drugs on the music of the Beatles overall. All right, here was your hit from the 1970s. Yeah, from 1974, number one hit for Billy Preston. It was Nothing from Nothing.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing, and I'm not stuffing, believe you me.
Well, Billy Preston reportedly started writing the song one night in the dressing room of a nightclub right here in Atlanta, where he was performing. He wanted to write a song based on the saying, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. A second verse was added by his songwriting partner, who also co-wrote Billy Preston's previous hit, Will It Go Round in Circles? Preston, of course, was a pretty amazing talent. He started playing keyboards at the age of 10 for gospel legend Mahalia Jackson. Later on, he joined Ray Charles' touring band before recording with a whole bunch of music legends, including the Beatles, on several of their tracks, including Get Back and Let It Be, and he has often been considered the fifth Beatle. How about your hit from the 1980s? It was 1985. Yeah, big hit for David Lee Roth and Just a Gigolo.
What would they say about me? When the end comes, I know it was just a gigolo. Life goes on without me.
Well, it was originally adapted from an Austrian hit called Schöner Gigolo. I hope I'm saying that correct. It was written in 1928, and in 1935, the song became the first ever hit as a solo for Bing Crosby. But in 1956, Just a Gigolo got a makeover when it was restyled by trumpeter and singer Louis Prima. He did an up-tempo arrangement that combined Just a Gigolo with another song, I Ain't Got Nobody. And while he was still a member of Van Halen, David Lee Roth released a solo EP of standards, including his interpretation of Louis Prima's version of Just a Gigolo. Here was your hit from the 1990s. 1991, a top 10 hit for U2 in Mysterious Ways. Well, Bono said that Mysterious Ways is a song about a man living with little or no romance. He was interviewed for the book Into the Heart, the stories behind every U2 song. And during the interview, he said the song references women in general and the way that they entrance and often dominate men. He said that U2's songs are not politically correct and that they are written from a man's point of view. All right, we wrapped it up with a hit from the 2000s. This is a number 14 hit in 2003 for Sheryl Crow. And the first cut is the deepest.
The first cut is the deepest. Baby, I know. The first cut is the deepest.
Well, the song was written by Cat Stevens, and it's been a hit single for four different artists around the world. P.P. Arnold, who was popular in the United Kingdom, had the first hit with the song, reaching number 18 in the U.K. in 1967, way back then. Canadian singer Keith Hampshire scored a number one hit in Canada in 1973 with his recording of the song. And then Rod Stewart released it in 1977. It reached the top in the U.K., but only number 21 in the U.S., and then there was Sheryl Crow's version, which became one of her biggest radio hits. It remained for 36 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100. It was also her first top 40 solo country hit. It got her nominated for the Best Female Pop Performance at the Grammy Awards. Well, there you have it, our five songs. Did you do good this week? I suspect that many of you did. Hope you enjoyed it. We do it pretty much close to every week. We try to, at least, or maybe every 2 weeks. But that'll do it this time around for the Great Openings Music Trivia Podcast. You can reach us at jimradio@gmail.com. And our show notes are at jimdriscoll.net. Thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and thanks for playing along to the Great Openings Music Trivia Podcast.